Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. It's Chris Moore on the radio with you until 3 o'clock today. We're going to talk to Blaine Jones, who's a criminal defense attorney, on the first portion of our program, about an article that I read about the Michigan shooter, Ethan Crumbly, and how they are charging the parents in this case. And they say it's a case maybe of unintended consequences that is likely to be used against black parents. We know that Ethan killed four of his Oxford High School classmates and wounded seven others with a handgun. But they say this is an extraordinary prosecutorial response. No parent has ever been convicted of a homicide offense in connection with their child's mass shooting. Convicting the parents would break new ground. Here to talk about that is criminal defense attorney Blaine Jones of Blaine Jones Law. Blaine, welcome. How are you, sir?
Chris, good afternoon. I'm doing great. It's always nice to be on with you. Hello to you and all of your listeners.
All right. I sent you this article, and I wonder what you thought of it. I found it quite fascinating in the legal system how blacks may be treated, especially black parents, if this case breaks new ground.
Well, you know, Chris, broadly speaking, when I first heard of the prosecution of the parents, Jennifer and James Crumbly, I was surprised because I'd never heard of nor seen anything like that. Now, specifically to your point, Chris, you know, on its face, the theoretical underpinnings of this law appear neutral, okay? And I think that, you know, your listeners may say, okay, how are you turning this into a black-white thing or what have you? But the problem that arises is during the practical application of this law. And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, the uncomfortable truth is that, you know, historically, over the past 400 years, people of color have been treated differently and disproportionately impacted by the laws of this country, that are, particularly laws that are left up for interpretation. And I can only speak to my own personal and professional life as an African-American man who lived in Western Pennsylvania, lived in different places for school, and had practiced law here for the past 17 years, and I practiced in eight different counties. Personally, I can tell you, I can go back to my great-grandparents, six generations of racism that we'd have to deal with. And then in terms of my legal experience, I can tell you, Chris, I've seen so much racism in the criminal justice system that it really does give you pause, from the targeting of young black men by law enforcement. Now, look, some people, you know, don't get ahead of yourselves. I'm not saying all police are bad. That's silly. But I have seen targeting of a specific group. I've seen what the DAs do when they get to that group. And I've seen what the judges do.
So given some common negative stereotypes about black criminality and parental responsibility, would holding parents responsible for their children's felonies, could that lead to more racially disparate prosecutions?
Well, yeah, when you put it like that, absolutely, Chris. But in terms of this case itself, I do think that, first of all, this is groundbreaking, and in terms of the parents being charged, but I do think that there's a distinction with a lot of the cases that I handle that are homicides in this case. Now, Chris, I handle a lot of homicides. I believe more than anyone in the last 5 years in my city. I do a lot of them. And the difference with this case, the Crumbly case, the Michigan case, and the cases that I handle is this. According to everything I've read, the parents, Jennifer and James Crumbly, they purchased the gun for Ethan, number one. Number two, they knew he had some things going on mentally about his classmates. And number three, the teachers told them at least twice that, hey, something's going on with your kid. So you put that to the left. Now, on the right-hand side, a lot of my clients, they're not, their parents aren't purchasing guns for them and knowing what's going on. These guns are usually illegally purchased on the streets, and then clients are going off and doing different things. So there's a vast distinction there, Chris, about attaching criminality to the parents' actions on the cases that I deal with.
Yeah, but Blaine, look, just the other day I read that three kids were caught behind Brashear High School with some weapons. They were 14 years and 15 years of age. How in the world are these kids getting these guns, as you talked about? And should the parents be held responsible if they commit a terrible act?
In my opinion, yes, the parents should be held responsible if they are either if they either know or should reasonably believe. And see, that's the tricky part, reasonably believe. And like I said, in the Crumley case, the Crumleys allegedly purchased this gun for their son. What I'm telling you, Chris, is a lot of the times that I deal with clients that have guns that are juveniles or even in their early 20s, the parents have no idea. They're getting these guns illegally on the streets.
But would they still charge the parents? And the Crumley case is a little bit different because they bought the weapon as a Christmas gift, an early Christmas gift Ethan. If a parent has done the best that they can and a kid still is out there running with the gangs and the ne'er-do-wells and they commit a crime, it seems to me those parents should not be charged.
Well, yeah, listen, the law looks at two things for the most part. The act, which is the actus reus in Latin, and the mens rea, which is the mental state. So the act would be having the gun, right? That the juveniles, in the example you're using, having the gun. But with respect to the parents, what are the parents' states of mind? What is the mens rea? If the parents don't know that the kids have a gun, or they have no reason to believe that their kids have a gun, I just don't see a nexus or a connection with the parents being charged for the kids' acts when they have no idea. So, for instance, say you have a little athlete football player, okay, or soccer, whatever, and the parents have no idea. They think their kid is a little athlete, et cetera, et cetera. Lo and behold, the kid gets into a shooting. How would the parents have any idea that their kid is involved in anything like that? So therefore, Chris, I do not see it happening. I just don't, unless the parents have an idea. Like in this Crumley case, this is almost like the perfect storm for this prosecutor. I think that the Crumleys are going to be in trouble based on the concept of gross negligence.
The Michigan legislature considered joining 30 other states in the District of Columbia in enacting a safe storage law that would penalize parents for failing to secure weapons that are later used by children to commit crimes. A Michigan legislator has called for reconsideration of the safe storage law, and Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel supports it. What do we like to see in case law about these kinds of incidents where juveniles kill people?
Well, there's actually a case in Michigan that somewhat involved exactly what you're discussing about a father who had two kids, and I believe he didn't have his gun locked up. It wasn't safely put away, and one of the kids unfortunately killed the other child. And the Michigan, either their Supreme Court or their appeals court, they upheld the conviction of the man who did not put up his weapons. So in a case like that, Chris, I think that type of law really has legs, and that type of law can stick. Because once again, what is it about? It's about the act and it's about the intent. The act is leaving the gun out. The intent is you're creating a potentially dangerous situation that you could simply avoid.
Criminal defense attorney Blaine Jones of Blaine Jones Law is my guest. Blaine, on my Facebook page, people are writing in. Brian says, I feel if you own a weapon which was used in a nefarious way, you should be held responsible along with the individual holding the weapon. Jerry writes, are black parents buying handguns for their kids? Are black parents taking their kids ammo shopping, telling them to fly under the radar at the school with the gun? Stuff violent writing stuff? And writing violent messages like these parents did? If so, they probably should be under scrutiny. What do you say?
Well, first of all, you know, I can only speak about my experience practicing and personally as well. And I just haven't had an experience where, in all the homicides I've tried, where the parents knowingly gave the gun to my client. I've never heard of that before. And I do think that there's a distinction here. That my fear, Chris, like I said before,
But that's why this case breaks new ground with the parents being charged, right?
Absolutely, but my fear is theoretically it makes sense. Your Facebook user, the person that sent you the message, it makes sense. You should be held responsible, particularly with what the Crumleys did. I really think that the Michigan prosecutor, you know, was courageous in filing these charges. But the flip side is, Chris, if you can't show some type of intent on the part of the parents, then I don't agree with going after the parents, because that is a slippery slope, Chris. We can't just kind of pick and choose who we want to prosecute. You better have some darn good evidence if you go after someone, because a prosecution, whether you're found not guilty or guilty, it ruins your life.
Brenda writes, my parents understood that the buck stopped with them and they were responsible and accountable for our behavior. Therefore, we were constantly reminded that we better not do anything to damage our good name. I have always believed that when we start to hold the parents responsible again, black or white, we might be able to curb some of this violence. However, when I talk about holding parents responsible, that means across the board. And remember, one size cannot fit all. I guess that's correct, right?
Well, yeah, I agree with what Brenda is saying completely. I mean, the parents have to be held accountable, because when it comes down to it, you know, firearms are tremendously dangerous, and having firearms in the hands of teenagers is simply not a good mix. And what I think a lot of people don't realize that don't work in the criminal justice system is that the laws on their face, and I keep saying this, they're just fine. The laws make sense. It's about the application of the laws, Chris. For instance, I can't tell you how many times I've had young black men that were pulled over for windshield obstruction. Do you know what the windshield obstruction was that they were pulled over for, Chris?
Probably one of those smell-good cars that they had or a handicap
sticker.
Exactly,
those little pine cones.
Yeah, little pine cones, yeah.
But then what happens
That's
is,
what happened to Dante Wright in that case with Kim Potter, the officer who shot him.
Listen, I can't tell you. Then all heck breaks loose after that, because it's called a pretextual stop. Pretext just means an alleged reason. They see a certain person fitting a certain stereotype they have. They're pulled over, and then all heck breaks loose. And I can't tell you how many times I'm driving around, and I don't see I see it all the time.
Well, what do you tell your children? You got three kids, right?
I tell my kids, you know, it's funny you mention that. My kids, my son drives to school, and the school gave him a little parking pass. And I said to my son, I said, you don't put that parking pass on your windshield. So I tell them, I have the talk with my kids. But Chris, I was going to say, when I was doing my residency in the public defender's office, you know, I went to a bunch of different areas. I went to white areas. I went to black areas. I went, you know. What I saw was this, and this is once again the uncomfortable truth. I saw certain groups being targeted. I saw poor/blue-collar whites, not saying they're the same thing, but, you know, more of a poor whites and black young men being targeted. And if you go to Allegheny County Courthouse, I'll challenge anyone who's listening. You sit there for a week or 2 weeks, you're going to see the same thing over and over again, to the point where you're like, something's going on here. Are these the only residents in this county?
Well, that leads me to the criminal industrial complex and all these private prisons that have to make a profit that people are employing around the nation right now. Do you think it's deliberate that those people you just mentioned are targeted in order to fill those spaces in prison?
I don't think that there are coincidences in what I see. But, you know, I think that there's, for instance, you know, remember the Michael Brown case, the case in Ferguson, Missouri? And it came to light that the officers in that county, or excuse me, in that city, they were basically fining the residents who happened to be mainly black, and it was basically paying for the city. And there's something to that. And, you know, we all want our police officers to be professional, and, you know, we all care about and respect our police officers. But you have some individuals out there, and it's like anything, whether it's the law or what have you, that give that profession a bad name. And I'm telling you, Chris, from the start of my career, being a black man working in this profession, I can tell you that it hasn't given me a good feeling when I see certain things.
Thomas writes on my Facebook page, all bad parents beware, ! Your response?
Yeah, I mean, the law that Michigan is trying to enact, and I hate that these laws want to be enacted in terms of reactionary instead of proactive. There should be a law in the books about keeping your gun safe. That's not, you know, that's not asking too much. So, you know, I agree. You know, parenting is serious, and if you have weapons around and you have an idea that your child is feeling a certain way and you're notified repeatedly, then guess what? You have some culpability.
All bad parents beware, as he said. All right, Blaine Jones of Blaine Jones Law, thank you for your time, sir.
Always a pleasure. Have a nice holiday.
All right, same to you. You and your family.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.